I can't remember. Had you read The Music Shop when you set it for
I
us?
had. Yes, I had a long time ago when it first came out. And I don't usually read books twice.
So this isn't... Go on then.
Well, I just felt it was such a lovely book. I had such good memories of it. So I thought it might suit us for now. And I was really glad of the opportunity to read it again, actually, because I felt it was just a book that you didn't really want to finish. You were so lost in the world of the characters. They're so engaging, and it feels such a sort of safe and compelling world that they're in. And there's lots of messages going on that we can learn from. So it's quite moving, but there's also a lot of humour in it. So I really enjoyed it. What did you think of it?
Yeah, I have to say, I'm halfway through it, so I'm desperate, and I keep falling asleep at the moment, so I'm desperate to finish it because I want to know what happens.
Okay, well, really, I won't tell you then.
It's really difficult to talk about this because I don't want to do any spoilers, but there's a woman in a green coat who features, and so I'm halfway through, so I'm dying to know. And every night I'm reading it, but then I start to fall asleep, so I have to put it down. So I'm looking forward to the weekend when I can plan my work, sort of read it properly and actually get to the end.
Yeah, I think you do need to immerse yourself in it, though it is quite an easy book to dip into as well. But it's about Frank, who owns a music shop, and it's in the 1980s, so it's set a little while ago. But he's under a lot of pressure to get with the times and sell the CDs and cassettes that had become in vogue at that time. But he insists that vinyl is the only way to hear music. And he bases his business on that still. He's got a little independent shop in quite a sad part of town, which is already under threat. Because developers wanting to come in, independent shops haven't got their place anymore. And so he is under threat. And it doesn't really help that he doesn't see his shop in commercial terms, really. People come into the shop thinking they might want a particular piece of music, but he knows what they need. He insists that they listen to the music that he thinks will speak to their soul, whatever personal difficulties they might be having. And he thinks that he can soothe them and heal them by them listening to the right piece of music. But he's got his own sad history. And that comes to the fore when the mysterious woman that you mentioned, the lady in the pea green coat, she visits the shop, and they immediately have this connection, and their slowly growing relationship seems to be good for both of them until it comes to a sudden end.
Oh, don't!
I won't tell you anymore.
I'm dying to know whether it has a happy ending or not. And I love all the musical references as well, because, I mean, it is classical music. It's just every genre of music is woven in, isn't it?
It's very clever. And I think you can actually go on various websites and listen to the playlist of this book and the tunes also that inspired the author to write the book. But there are just such lovely little touches, and you do really want to look up the music that she mentions. I mean, there's one instance where a shoplifter runs out of Frank's shop with an album, a record, and he hasn't paid for it, obviously. So Frank sees him and runs after him, takes up the chase. And when he catches up with this shoplifter, instead of saying, "Give me back this record that you haven't paid for," he said, "Look, you can keep it, but actually I don't think it's the right track for you. Why don't you come back and I'll show you what music you should be listening to, and you can take that as well." But the music that the shoplifter takes, I think it was a Genesis album. And so he says, "Oh no, that wasn't the best one, so you need to pick this one." And then there was some classical music as well that he recommended, that if you like this, you'll like that. It's just very charming and very funny. And also it makes you think about the power of music as well, because there are various examples of music being such a therapy, aren't there?
Now, you did suggest that we should speak to the author, did you not?
I did.
She's on the phone.
And have you?
She's here now listening to us as we speak, which is always a risky thing. Hello, Rachel.
Hello.
Sorry to let you listen into our conversation, but I think we said nothing but nice things about your book.
You were extremely kind. I feel nothing but happy. So thank you.
we'll talk about, because you've got a new book coming out in a minute. We'll talk about that in a minute. But just take me back to writing this. I mean, do you have a very broad knowledge of music yourself?
I love music. I really, really love music. I think it really gets to me. But I'm not a musical person at all. I cannot play a thing. I think I had some lessons when I was young, because my mum basically felt sorry for a piano teacher down the road. And, you know, it was a way of kind of supporting this lady without my mum having to go there, I think. So I had lessons for a little while, really unsuccessfully. I can't sing, but I do know I love music. So as a writer, you know, you're always trying to find the journey that you're going to go on with a book that will really interest you because you're going to be in it for a very long time. And I knew that I wanted to write about music as a non-musical person, to just try and get at what it is about music that really moves me and undoes me sometimes, you know, or kind of speaks to me in a way that is, you know, kind of universal and beyond words.
Because I have the bizarrest mixture of music, and it's nothing to do with words for me. It's the sound of music, so I la a lot to music. But some songs, they really have that tone and that sort of phrasing, and it really does call to you, as you say. And it doesn't matter whether it's classical or modern or whatever, it just has that something, like je ne sais quoi.
I think everybody, interestingly, if you asked anybody what, you know, if they could do their Desert Island Discs, everybody would be delighted at the opportunity, because we all have music that we kind of carry with us that, you know, means something very personal to us and says something about who we are.
Catherine, feel free to chip in.
Yes. Well, I think that's quite the special thing. I was thinking about it a few moments ago, actually, as to what music I would choose. And it is the memories that are attached to when you heard a particular piece of music, as much as what that music was in itself, which is, I think that would determine what pieces of music I would choose.
But that is part of this book, isn't it, Rachel? Because it's his mum that is referenced a lot. Yes. In the book.
Yes. I mean, I knew that I wanted to find a way of kind of telling the reader a little bit about the music. I thought, wouldn't it be great if you read a book and you read a story that really held you, but actually at the end you had something else as well you didn't have before. So, you know, you had some more music that you hadn't known. So I wanted to find a way of introducing the tracks. But it's fiction, it's not non-fiction. And so I couldn't really just say, oh, this is a really interesting piece by Vivaldi because dot, dot, dot. So I thought, Frank's got to have an inspiration. He's got to have somebody who really taught, you know, who kind of fed this whatever it is in him that makes him so kind of need so much to give people the right music. So I introduced the character of his mother, and she's a kind of, for me, she's a brilliant figure, but, you know, because she loves music and she knows everything about music, and she, as a little boy, music is what she gives him. I mean, sadly, there's a lot of things she doesn't give him, and that's kind of what Frank has to carry, is that she doesn't really give him love, but she does give him music.
The research you must have done in some of the fascinating facts about some of the of the composers of the music, it was brilliant.
I know, I knew so much. But before I wrote the book, I've just got a pile of information and no book. That was just too much research to begin with.
And what about the people that you met? Did you meet anybody like Frank that you felt was able to reach into people's soul and tell them what music they needed?
Frank, I don't know any. I wish I did. I think I had a real wish. I think that's an interesting thing about being a writer, is where, you know, where characters come from and where, you know, what creates them in you. And I think I had a real need to know someone like Frank. I think we all do, actually.
Yes.
And I think maybe that's what his appeal is that he has this, you know, that he's this enormous man. In fact, when I started writing the book, he was a very tiny, frail man. And every time anything happened, I always thought, oh no, what have I put him through? But then one day I came down to write the book, and as can happen with, you know, with fiction, he'd grown overnight. He was this massive man. And then I thought, oh no, it's fine. He can take everything now. It's fine. He feels like a man who can weather it.
It must be brilliant for you that people took the trouble to put together soundtracks and so on. Has there been an audio book? There ought to be an audio book with the music in the background. Has that happened, Rachel?
I think that there is an audiobook that doesn't have the music. And then I actually read it for book at bedtime, but abridged for Radio 4. And that has some of the music. They did add some of the music for that. But I can't listen to that because it's me reading.
Oh, so
I can't bear to listen.
Oh, you'll have it. Oh, I'm sure I shall dig that out and have a look for it. Very swiftly, because we're going to run out of time. I mean, you've got another book due out, but I gather that it's been pushed back a bit because of the pandemic.
Yes, it was supposed to be coming out next week, and now it's coming out on the 23rd of July, which is a much better time for it because, you know, hopefully bookshops will be beginning to open, and it will give people just a little chance to, you know, to see it. Because the thing about this one is that it has the most beautiful cover. It's got gold that actually kind of sparkles as you move it. It's the most beautiful thing. And that's without me, you know, doing anything.
I was going to say, you don't normally have a say, do you, in covers? So it's called Miss Benson's Beetle. So just whet my appetite.
Well, this time I decided, I love writing female characters, but I felt this time I wanted to put two women right at the centre of the book. But I didn't just want to write a book about friendship. I wanted to write a book where I sent my two women on an amazing adventure. So it's set in 1950. It's two women who are not at all well matched, who travel to the other side of the world in search of a beetle that no one's yet found. And what it's really about is the power of women when they get together.
Ooh, I'm hooked already. It sounds very exciting. Catherine, final word?
Well, I've had a sneak preview of that book and it's marvellous. So,
you're lucky,
my endorsement.
It's fantastic.
Well worth a read.
Rachel, thank you so much for joining us. Has lockdown been something creative for you, Rachel, or have you found it? Because I've spoken to people who have found it easy to write, but some who found it too difficult to write at this time as well.
I think if you're kind of very far down in a project, it's probably been a very good time because you just continue where you were at. I'm sort of having finished one. I'm at the stage of, you know, where you're kind of looking to find what the next book will be. So it's been, you know, it's been a lot of time in the garden for me, to be honest, and making cake, if I can get eggs.
Along with everybody else, I have to say as
exactly.
well.
Exactly.
Thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
So Rachel Joyce, and we've been talking about Rachel's book, The Music Shop, but her latest book, which we have to look out for, published in July, Miss Benson's Beetle.